Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Reb Shlomo Katanka, B'inyan Chanukah. Okay, the Chodesh. Since it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, even though it's not really Kislev until tomorrow, but we're all excited. Chanukah is about to come in 25 or 26 days. So I thought maybe it's appropriate to talk about Chanukah, since we've had the whole Cheshvan, no Yom Tovim, and it's been all very dark and quiet. And Baruch Hashem, now we've got Kislev and Chanukah is about to come. So there's a very interesting shaila, which people think about around Chanukah time. That is, why is it that we light the menorah in shul? Lighting menorah at home is in the Gemara. Lighting menorah in shul is not mentioned in the Gemara. It's not mentioned in the poskim of that time. And it seems that it only started later on. And this is slightly baffling. Of course, lighting menorah in shul to us is poshet. It's brought down the Shulchan Aruch, as we're going to see in a minute. But lemaisa, it's not dinner to Gemara, and it's slightly strange. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. And what exactly is it all about? And how can we make a bracha on it if it's not mentioned in the Gemara? And these are the questions which maybe we'll understand a bit more about when we go through this together. Did anyone ever think of that? That it's not mentioned in the Gemara? Well, it isn't. It's very strange. It says that's true. But even this, at least the menorah, lighting menorah in your house is mentioned. And this isn't mentioned. Pardon me.
It's strange to us, I'm sure.
Yeah. Who's being Yotzer for start off? What's going on? What's happening over here? Anyway, so let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Number one is Shulchan Aruch. It's underlined. If you have the sheet, everyone has a sheet. Whoever wants one has one. Yeah, okay, that's lots of yays. In the shul, we put the Shulchan Aruch discusses is where we light the menorah at home. Of course, that's a whole discussion as well, as you know. Do you put it by the door? Do you put it in the window? Okay, fine. And what do you do if there's Shas HaShmad? But that's the first discussion. Then at the end here, tagging along, is the Beis HaKnesses Manicha B'Koysel Dorim. In the Beis HaKnesses, we leave the menorah, we put the menorah in the southern side. Oba Dorim, a menorah, and Mesadri B'Mizruch L'Marav. And he says in the Ramah that you do it from Mizruch to Marav. It means it's long ways from east to west. It's like this. It'd be like this, right? That's how he has it. Okay. He quotes Shema Zadashin. We'll see the Shema Zadashin in a few minutes. Now, if you look at number two downstairs, the Kosel Dorim, so Mishnah Berurah explains, Oyu Shulchan, Oyu Desel Kosel Dorim, or you don't have to hang it on the wall. You could stick it on a table, which is next to southern wall, Vatam, Bukolzer, and what's the point of this whole business? Zechilim Nourish Makom Migdash Vidar. Right. How do we know it's in the southern on the southern wall? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, that's where its place was. Okay. Now on the next one, Mem Aleph, which is not underlined, says Ay Badaram Amnoira. So he changes that to Kimnoris Hamanara. Then he gets Mesadrim Mizrach, which is Mem Base. He says Vizel Ke Minoris Manoira. The whole idea of putting it this way along is because that's how it was in the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll see later a little bit more about that. So we've got two things we learn from here. First of all, you put a menorah in the shul, right? And the place to put it is in our southern wall, and there's a discussion as to whether you have it this away or that away. And the way that the Ramah has it is this away, right? Okay, good. Now, there's much more information in the Levush, which is number... Oh, sorry, we've missed something out. Where's three? There's no three. Yes, there is three. Bir Alocha. Right, let's have a look at Bir Alocha. Basically, let's be Nichol Gosel Dorim. Even at the time of the Gemara, Shemadlikim b'chutz al Pesach habayis. They used to light outside on the entrance to the door. Hacha madlikim b'fnim shupersim anes b'rabim. Right, he says that even at the time of the Gemara, they used to light outside on the door of the house, and now we light inside to Mufaras and Neis Rabbim. That means the whole idea of lighting in the shul is sort of a remembrance of what they did in the Beis Hamikdash times. They used to light outside. So if you light outside, you'll see it be developed a bit further. If you would light outside, that's Pirsam and Neis for everyone walking past. Today, we don't light at the door. So therefore, we light in the shul. He's sort of hinting to the fact that we light in the shul in order to remind us of what they used to do to be far from the Neis, because we can't put it outside. So there isn't any publicity outside. So there's publicity in the shul amongst ourselves. And you'll see a bit more in the Levush number 4. A. The Levush is the Talmud of the Ramah. He's... we all know the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Ramah, there's Rabbi Yosef Cairo and there's Rabbi Moshe Isserles. So the Shulchan Aruch is a compilation of two people, the Sfadi Rabbi Yosef Cairo and the Ashkenazi Rabbi Moshe Isserles. Fine, okay. Now, the Ramah had a Talmud called the Levush. He was Rav Yaffa. Actually, Nechemia Yaffa is directly descended from the Levush. And he expands on what the Ramah, his Rebbe, wrote, and he's got his own sort of Shulchan Aruch. It's a whole set that follows the whole order of the Shulchan Aruch and tells you everything that it tells in the Shulchan Aruch, but also he explains things in a longer way, more explanations, and it also tells you about why we do certain things which isn't mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, this explanation that he's going to bring, a lot of it is brought in the Beis Yosef, which we'll see on the next page, but we'll see it all together here, and then afterwards... you'll know what he says, and it's not made up by himself, that's what I mean. It's also normally brought down from other people, but it's all put together in a beautiful form. Now, Lididon, the underlined bit of 4a. Shiyad Umas, that explains on what we just mentioned before. Shiyad Umas Takiva Valenu, that the peoples of the world, they're in charge, right? We're not in charge over here, right? So, Ein Anu Madlikim Mechutz Baruchai V'Hoir. We can't light outside in the courtyards. Elamad likim bifnim, but we light inside. So that was an interesting thing. The word rechav in Ivrit, we say a rechav. It means a road, right? You got rechav, Shlomo Melech, or whatever you want, right? So that's called a road. But actually, in classical Hebrew, rechav doesn't mean a road. Chutzah, chutzos, just is a road, and rechav is a square. But that's just for by the by. That's why sometimes modern Hebrew confuses us. Like you've got this Chutzos Yerushalayim. Chutzos Yerushalayim means the streets of Jerusalem. It doesn't mean the squares of Jerusalem. Whereas Rechav means really a square in classical Hebrew. Anyway, we don't light outside in the squares. Elam Adlikim Bifnim, we light inside. Ve'ein Pirsum Lenes. And there's no publicity for the Nes. So he's talking about at the time of the Gemara tells us that we light outside of the doors, right? Then it says v'shas hashmad. If we've got a problem with the non-Jews and they don't let us light outside, the Romans, whoever it is, so then what do you do? Put it manicha al shulchan v'daya. Put your menorah on the table, light it inside the house. Nobody knows about it except for you and your family, and that's enough. So really, the mitzvah is to light outside outside in the door. But if you can't do that because there's a gzeira, so what do? Stick it on the table and finished. So he's saying that since nowadays we're in a situation where we can't put it outside, so we put it on the table inside. So now, what's going to be with the pirsum anes? Okay, for your family, you've done the mitzvah and you've publicized the anes for everybody in your family, but you haven't really had a public publicity of the anes, which would be at the time when you'd walk past all the menorahs in the street, and there would be a public publicity of the nace. So, what do? We're stuck. We've got one part of the mitzvah, that is lighting the menorah, but we don't have the second part of the mitzvah, the publicity, that all the public will see that there was a miracle. So how are we going to sort this problem out? So he says, So he says, instead of what used to be at the time of the Gemara, that they would light outside, what we'll do is we'll bring it inside the shul. In the shul there's a big group of people, and everybody will see that we're lighting it, and we make brachas, and that will be new sort of version that's transferred from what used to be the Peres HaMenes outside is the Peres HaMenes in the shul. So that's how he explains it. And this is what the Bi'ah Halacha was sort of saying. And then he explains the Bahagot, Fishesh Ben Purim, God of the Shemis Baruch. It's a great publicity of the Nais to God, Vakosh Kamosh Mavarch Nosim Makelois, you bless, you make the bracha in a big group. So he says another reason. What about, like on Friday night, we make Kiddush and Shul for those people who are living in the shul? So same thing with this. We say that the people who live in the shul, they also need to have hadlokas neiros. So therefore, we were sakin to light in the shul for the people who are living in the shul. Apparently, in the old days, there used to be like a few people knocking around in the back of the shul, and they'd live there, or they'd wander from village to village, and then in each village, where would they stay, right? If nobody would let them in, they'd stay and sit in the back of the shul, live in the back of the shul. So that's why we make Kiddush Friday night, and that's why he's suggesting here, the reason why we're making hadlokas neiros, because they haven't got their own hadlokah, they can't light the menorah. Shein lehem bayis, the poor people, they haven't got a house to light in. And he says, "Kamosh tiktu kiddush beis hakneset shemarachim the same as kiddush. Shda ochlu v'shasu v'eknishta, they eat and drink in shul, etc., etc." Okay. Now, just that's that point of it. Now, let's go back to where we put the menorah. So, umanichin is the underlying bit. Also, in 4a, the last paragraph, menichas ha'midar menorah masadrina ha'menorah mitzad mizrach l'sad marav zeichel menorah shabadam alzeif. Okay, he mentions the same thing, that you put the menorah on the southern wall, on the southern side, and it's going from west to east. Fine. Then he says in brackets, uposna in posen mitzadrina menorah ha'menorah droimis. Mitzad Sof and Litzad Dorim. Instead of putting it this away, you put it that away. In Posen. V'omrim, and people say in Posen, Shehu Minika Kadmainim, that's an ancient custom. So therefore, now we've gone on to two versions. We've got this or that. Either it's from west to east or from south to north. Okay. I always wondered, actually, if you put it like this, you can't really see what's going on. If you have it like this, it's much easier to see what's going on. Anyway, it does. Yeah. Right, that's also something. It's quite interesting, actually. Now, some modern poskim have said that if the shul is built in the wrong direction, so for example, in Israel or in South Africa they daven north, right? And in Israel, in certain parts, if you're on the other side, in the West Bank, so Yerushalayim isn't in the east. It's going to be also to a slightly different direction. So maybe, some of the posts have written that maybe you should put the menorah always in the southern side. Doesn't matter whether your shul fits that location, right? So you'll have the shul, you could have it right at the back or something, if that's the southern wall. But that's... or should we just sit exactly there? So there you have it. I don't know. So, but the thing is that normally you'd say that the shul is built in a certain way, and you just go according to that. You don't start working out what the ruchas are. Okay, fine. Now, just want to mention here, Chuvus Rav Haigorn, which is 4b. Really, the reason I want to bring it is one of the Gaonim, Rav Haigorn, he's one of the later Gaonim, but either way, it shows you that during the time of the Gaonim, they already lit in the Beis HaKnesses. He says, V'vabotei Knesses, Knesses, Oslim Kabeis Hillel, La Rishon. He mentions that we light in the shul. Now, this is a very interesting point, 4c, which is the Maram Rotenberg. The Maram Rotenberg was an amazing Gadol who was sort of like the father of, he's taught a lot of the poskim. He's a great poskim himself, and he taught the Mordechai, and he taught the Rosh, and he also taught the Rav Yah. He taught so many, and everyone was Talmidim of him, sort of, either from him directly or the next generation. So he's very, very important. The Maram Rotenberg, it says in one of his Shuvahs how he used to work. He had so many Shalis coming to him from the entire world, right? He didn't have time to write all his Teshuvahs. So what he did was, is he had four boys from the yeshiva, and they'd all help him. He'd tell one to write this, and one would make the ink. Everybody would do something, and he'd keep on writing and writing. And they keep on finding more and more Shuvahs from Maram Rotenberg, even though he passed away a while back, say 600 years ago. 700 years ago, yeah. You can go visit his kever. It's the oldest kever in the whole of Europe of any Rishon. We don't know where Rashi is buried. We don't know where earlier Rishonim, the Bali Tosfos, are buried. But we know where Maram Rotenberg was buried. He's in Worms. You can go and visit his kever. It's the first one in the cemetery there. And it's an amazing place to visit if you ever need to go So you visit Kvarim in Vormaisha in Worms, you'll find an entire cemetery. It's the oldest cemetery in Europe, which was closed in 1911, and you've got the earliest kever is from 1070s. You've got the some people who were killed in the Crusades in Tatnu in 1096. It's just an amazing place to go. It's like going to one of these. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, so Maram Rotenberg is buried there. Maram Rotenberg, somebody started sorting out all his chuvas and write them in a set, in an order, because they're sort of like, there's lots of different, they're all sort of like muddled up the way they're printed, and this is according to the order. So I've written the two versions. I think it was called Rukamul Kahana. He put it in order. He says here, Shalt al Ne'er Chanukah Beis HaKnesses, Ne'er Chanukah in Shul, Heichan Yanichu, where do you put it? Where do you put the menorah in Shul? Kol Heicha Delech Mezuzah, if you haven't got a mezuzah, La'anuchi Biyamin Tvei Odif, always put it on the right hand side. You'll see later what this whole mezuzah business is, because what's mezuzah got to do with Shul? But anyway, we'll see in a minute. Hilkach Menicha, pardon me, Biyamin Pesach Aron Kodesh, put it on the right of the entrance to the Aron Kodesh. So you have to put it, according to this, near the Aron Kodesh, on the right-hand side, which would be here. So you'll find that actually in many shuls, they put the menorah on the nice next to the Aron Kodesh, not next to the wall, right? And this is where it's from. He says that that's what you should do. Because I think I'd imagine it's to do with the fact that in the Beis Hamikdash it would be near the Aron Kodesh. I don't know. That's how he has it. And that's how they do it in some shuls. And you'll find in Prague that's what they do, which is the oldest shul in Europe as well. So, in a small shul, right, there's not much difference if you put it from here to there. But in a big shul, it does make a difference. So question, what's the main thing? Is it meant to be on the wall? Or is it meant to be near the Aron Kodesh on that side? Okay, so let's just jump to the next page, base. The Torah here, the Torah is the son of the Rosh. He paskens onto line number 5. Bebeis haKnesses manicha b'dorim zeichel l'migdasho b'dorim. Same idea, put it in the south. In the shul, we're reminding us of the menorah which was in the south. Now there's a note here from the Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramah, which is also underlined. V'chein kasev minhagim, this is what it says in the Sefer Minhagim, Rabbi Isaac Tirana, d'loy kiminig brayin, she'enoigim la'mizim b'tzofen l'smol l'chazen. They put it in the north, to the left of the chazen. So you see, even then, there was different opinions as to where to put it. Brayin is brun. It's in Czech Republic today, and it's Choshev HaKehillah at that time. Okay. So I'm going to jump 7 because we haven't got that much time. 7 is the Beis Yosef who's before the Levush, but he brings more or less the same thing as the Levush, so we don't really need to say it all over again. We haven't got time. He's basically saying what we saw in the Levush in number 4a. Now we're going to start with things which are more different to what we normally imagine. You've got the Sefer Manhig, which is from Lunil, which is, I think, Provence. He says like this. He's a Rishon going back maybe 800 years. For Yirali, we're now discussing what's the whole thing of lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. At his time, still, they weren't sure why we light in shul, as I suggested at the beginning. Who says? Doesn't it say it in the Gemara? So who says that you light in shul? For Yirali, it seems to me, De'ein Chiyuva Beis HaKnesses Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. There's no Chiyuv. You don't have to light in the shul, Chanukah Neiros. Kiyim bebayis she'odom darboy. The only place you've got to light is a house where people live in. Mid'omak kadesh te'er mezuzah miyamin. Right? And as it says, you should put the mezuzah on the right-hand side, v'ne'er Chanukah mismal, and the Chanukah menorah on the left. Ubeis ha'knesses potter mezuzah. He's also going on to this thing. Beis ha'knesses, we don't have a mezuzah, we're potter. Right, in this shul there is a mezuzah, but mikadin in a shul if it's only used for davening. See, some shuls, in the time of Chazal, there was two places. There was a Beis HaMedrash and there was a Beis HaKnesses. And they used to daven in the Beis HaKnesses only, and they would learn in the Beis HaMedrash only. And for some reason or other, we think we're clever than Chazal. Chazal said you've got two places. And we said, let's just blank them all together and call it all Beis HaMedrash. Then you can eat in the shul, and you can daven in the Beis HaMedrash. Everything can be one big thing together. But traditionally, if you have at the time of Chazal, if you had two places, so in the Beis HaKnesses, it's impossible to eat And also there's no mezuzah because of that. Nobody lives there. Whereas in the Beis HaMedrash, where because you're learning and you may need to eat because otherwise how you're going to have to go out, whatever, so you're allowed to certain Heterim. Whereas really the Beis HaMedrash does have a higher Kedush than the Beis Knesset in some ways as well, because the Beis HaMedrash is a place where you learn. The Beis Knesset, all you do is daven. Either way, that's how it was then. So he said, since the shul hasn't got a mezuzah, could Amrina prepare Kamad Yoma? Ella in Kain, Yesham Beis Dira, unless somebody lives there, Ladur Beis Knesses, Ella Nagu Kain. So we have a minhag, Alzeh, Shanes, Baba Mikdash, Beis Ilamim, Vaisin Kamai Kain, Mikdash Ma'at, Begola, Farazim, Nes, Kishkun, Mikdash Sham. Now he says, at the beginning he said, I don't think there's any reason, there's any need to lighten the menorah in the shul. Then he says, we have the custom to light. Why? Because they lit in the Beis HaMikdash, and our shul's a Mikdash Mat. They're a miniature Beis HaMikdash in the exile. So Mepharis in the Nais, he also says, the idea is Peris HaMenais, everybody should remember the Nais, and everyone is Miskabsim Shal, everyone comes to shul, so they'll see there's a Menorah, and they'll remember the Nais, and it's a big mitzvah to remind them and to be Mepharis in the Nais. Okay, now we're going to have a different idea. Sefer Itur. Nagu lahadlik nechanika beis HaKnesses. The Ito is also a Rishon, an early Rishon. He says that it was not so early, even, but he's a Rishon. He says we've got the custom to light the Ner Chanukah in Shul. V'yesh Mekayim Shenagu al Pesach. He's also going on this thing. He says some places they light the menorah at the door of the Shul. V'yesh Manichim Beis HaKnesses Be'emtza. And in some places they light the menorah in the middle. Nothing about Durham South. Nothing about Zeich LeMikdash in the base Mikdash in the south. He says straightforward, you either light it at the door or you light it in the middle. Okay, and then we're going to see Shabbat Leket also says the same thing from the same time. It's also from Lunil things. Nagul Hadlik Ne Chanukah Beis HaKnesses. The minigus light the Chanukah menorah in Beis HaKnesses. Some do it at the door. Some do it in the middle of the shul. Akan Dvarov. Then he says this thing that we're worried about. Said we have a custom to light in the shul, and I don't know what the root and where this minute comes from. My brother Rabbi Yehuda said, he says, you know, he didn't want to light in shul because he didn't want to make the bracha. I also think you should make a bracha. It shouldn't light. Since everybody lights in their house, what's the point of lighting in shul? If there's people sleeping in the shul, like as we said, the people who go from town to town and sleep in the shuls, they have to light themselves. So it's not going to help them either. He's got to light the menorah. The people who are visiting him, ain't sham archin. And if there aren't any people sleeping in the shul, mat zerch lahadlik, what do you have to light for? Okay, so therefore he says he doesn't understand the whole thing, and he wants to cancel the whole thing, similar to the Manik says. And he said, look, if you've got people living there, they've got to light for themselves. And if you've not got people living there, so they don't have to light at all, there's no one to light for. So therefore, the whole thing shouldn't start. Okay, number 12 is the coal boy. He says, he says a new idea. We haven't had this idea before. He says, look, what about a person who can't read or who doesn't know the brachas? So what's he going to do? So the best thing is light in shul. He'll be there and he'll hear that lighting, and he'll be somehow yaitza, or he'll hear how the brachas go. And then he says, what about somebody who doesn't do the mitzvah for whatever reason? He just doesn't do it. He doesn't have any candles. He doesn't know about it. He'll come to shul. He'll see them lighting, and that will he'll be yaitza somehow that way. So this is a new idea. So everyone's running around wondering, why is it we light in shul? They look at the Gemara. There's no Gemara. Dinner is a Gemara that you light in shul. So why do you light in shul? So we've got different reasons. We've got the Orachim. Then the Shabbat Leket just pushed away the idea of Orachim. And now we've got an idea. Somebody who doesn't know what's going on. We find also in the shuls where they make Kiddush Friday night, people remember there's Kiddush. You find that Kiddush is something that most people do. Because they see in shul and they hear how to do it and they know what's going on, right? So there is a point in it. But also Havdalah, you find people that come and listen to Havdalah in shul, they afterwards have heard Havdalah, and they, if they don't know how to read or they don't know how to do Havdalah, haven't got the right equipment, they've heard it, and it's very useful for them. So that's the idea. And he also goes on in the bottom here of 12. He says, he says, some people don't put it near the door of the shul. He's already suggests some places they don't do it at the door of the shul, but they put it near the Aron Kodesh. Okay, so that's the idea there. So just that Orchus Chaim also reiterates the ideas we had before. So we'll jump that number 13. Number 14 is a very, very important shuvah which you can read at your leisure. I won't read it out to you. But he mentions that he saw how they used to do it in the big kehillas, which supposedly means Frankfurt. He came from Frankfurt, and he also went through other large kehillas, important kehillas. And what they did was, is the chazan would stand here, and the menorah would be set in front of him like this, and he would light, starting with the newest light, going this way. That's how he has it, this chazan sofer, and it's brought in the Mishnah Berurah also. This is the best way of doing it.
Is that opposite from what we would do at home?
It's going this. It's going, yeah, this way.
So opposite.
Yeah, it would be opposite to what you do at home. Yeah, and the idea is you should light. He said you should light the first one because it's nearer the Aron Kodesh first. That's how he has it. So he saw that in the big kehillas. That's how he has it. Okay, so that's the chasam sefer, which is of course very, very important. And this chuvah is of course everybody is in the mishmar and everything.
The other side.
Yeah, he stands here, and the menorah is here. Right, the menorah is here, he stands here, and he lights this way.
That's right,
it doesn't stand the other side. Yeah, you're right. But that's how he says he saw them do it. You're right, 100%. Yeah. Anyway, so now we've got Shulam Sadeshen, which we mentioned already, really, in the Mishnah Berurah originally. He also just... The point I wanted to bring from him is that there's two different ways of setting up the menorah. You'll see here, when it's underlined, number 15, Barov Mekomish Tarisi, most places where I saw, Hoya Mesadrin, Be Mizrach Lemarov, they had it from east to west, Be Vienna, Krems, and Neustadt. Ach Bemarapuk, which is Marburg, Neigin, Lesadrum, Ben Sofam, Ledorum, they did it from north to south. They had it this way. Okay? So you see, even in those times, Nahara and Harapashta, whichever way you like, is right. There are certain places like this, some places like this. And then he says, if you don't have a minag, Bemakam She'ei minag, Yisi Malik, Kamashu, Yisi Bebrov, Makomus, right? Do it like most places, which is that away. Okay. So then, I just want to finish off with the Minhagim of Vomaisha. Just as a little bit of a side point, it's just telling you how they used to do it. This is written in the 1600s, and Worms was the oldest kehillah, which lasted through all the generations. So it tells you how it used to be over there. Minik hakitlok ubeis hakneses. How do they used to light in shul in Vomaisha? Hashamash meichin amnera. The Shamas, he gets the menorah ready. He puts it in the right place, on the right of the Aron Kodesh. Before Mincha, Erev Chanukah. Now, in bigger shuls, where there's lots of room, they leave this thing the whole year, right? In smaller shuls, you bring it in, Erev, you're going to do that here, you bring it in Erev Chanukah, that's all he's telling you. You'll see in the very large shuls, there's somebody donates this splendorous menorah, and it's there the whole year. But this is how it used to be in the smaller shuls. Mincha, maybe a gabbai tzedekimoy sachaner shemadik v'zala. The mincha, the gabbai, would bring the amount of candles that are needed for lighting that night. V'chein kolei l'chanik, he'd bring the right amount of candles every evening. U'madlik ner shalchanik, and he lights, and they're lit. M'simin ala menorah, he puts them on the menorah. U'madlik oid ner echo the shamash, he has an extra one for the shamash. V'nicha kein got dolok, and they'd be left lighting. M'simin ala menorah, shbetzad small ha'heichal. And you put it on the left of the Aron Kodesh, Umokum, that's in the south side, but it's near the Aron Kodesh. That's how they had it. Mokum Shel Neris, Malikin Al Yom, Mises Av, Eim Koshana. So in the old days, they used to have Yahrzeit candles would be lit in shul. And some shuls, they still have like these big boards with lights on. That's because on old days, they used to light the Yahrzeit candle in shul. The whole idea of lighting a Yahrzeit candle in shul is there's a mitzvah to light the lights in shul, because then people can read the siddur and they can daven. So if you light an extra light, you're doing a mitzvah. If you add an extra light, okay, it's one little light for the Yahrzeit. So therefore, the parents get a zechus that you've lit a light in the shul, and now people can read better in the shul. So that was the whole idea of Yahrzeit candles. So Yahrzeit candles used to be lit in the shul, and they had a special... This menorah would be used... Here, or a special candelabra or something will be used to light those Yahrzeit candles, and that would be where the menorah was. So it says that they would light it during the year, that was where they light the Yahrzeit candles, but then during Chanukah they'd swap it to the other side. That's what it's telling you. The shamash would take away the lit candles. What used to happen is they used to get 24-hour candles, and they'd leave them there. They'd light them in the evening, and then in the morning they'd still be on. And if you're lucky, by the time they daven mincha mariv, there may be one or two still lit. So he said you have to take those away. You don't turn the, like put them out until you're going to light the ones for the next day, right? Do you get what's happening? It's 24-hour candles, so you've got some that are still there. They're still there from the day before, like in the Beis HaMikdash that used to be lit the entire time, more or less. There was a miracle that the lights would light every day. They'd be going more or less 24 hours. So he said, you leave those there, don't move them. And light again. Nowadays we have a custom which is called the custom of the villages, which is that you light in the night, you blow them out, and then you put them on again in the morning because you can't afford candles that last the whole night. They didn't know about health and safety, but without health and safety, with health and safety stomach, that's what you should do. But the real best way would be to have. It's quite interesting also, there's just a minute to keep you with the, there is, it says in Hilchus Sukkah, in Hilchus Lulav, that it says that it says in Hilchus Chanukah, really, just like in Chanukah, it's a mitzvah to have long, long candles, because then that's more of a beauty, hiddur mitzvah, a beautiful mitzvah, than having short ones. It's the same way, you should also have a long lulav. So you should know that sometimes you have to look in Hilchus Chanukah to know the din of lulav. Anyway, so it says in the second night he takes away the bits of candle and you leave it lit. Okay, that's the main ideas here. It's okay. I don't want to keep you anymore. Okay.
Go ahead.
And keep your sheets and give them back whatever you want.